Welcome back to State of Belief Radio, everyone. I'm Welton Gaddy. This past week, the Center for Inquiry, in cooperation with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation, issued an important report titled For God and Country, Religious Fundamentalism in the U.S. Military. And I am happy to be able to welcome the author of that piece, retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel James Parco, to State of Belief Radio.
Reverend Gaddy, thank you, and it's an honor and pleasure to be on your show.
The report states from the outset that things have been getting worse in the past decade. Talk about what that means.
I've had a long relationship with the military. I joined a military academy back in the 1980s, and it took me a while to really figure out what was going on. And I like to tell the story of, you know, the two fish swimming through the water, and there's a crab sitting on a rock. And the crab looks up at the fish and said, "Hey, boys, how's the water?" And one fish looks at the other fish and says, "What the hell's water?" And when you put it in that context, it's very, very hard to see this when you're on the inside of the organization. Uh-huh. But I became, you know, astutely aware probably around 2002, 2003 that things were, you know, kind of reaching a fever pitch.
Are we talking about officers? Are we talking about enlisted people? Where is this influence coming from?
The data that I gathered really is primarily in the officer corps, and mm-hmm. as you get more and more senior, it becomes more and more pronounced.
Yeah.
And there are a couple of reasons from that. You know, one is what we call the fractal nature of systems, the self-replication, that the people that tend to be promoted above the rank of, you know, major and lieutenant colonel, you know, it's a very subjective system. And we see this self-similarity. As you get more and more senior, the military gets wider, it gets more profoundly Christian, even more, when you look at the denominations, more conservative in terms of political ideology.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that is somewhat of a concern. But it really gets back to the first day you get to basic training. What we do in the military is we strip everybody of their identities that they come into the military with, and we recast them into the organizational image. We want to make them soldiers, officers, sailors, Marines, etc. And the military is unparalleled with their success in creating organizational members that have this strong person organization fit.
Mm-hmm.
What concerns me, though, is when you break people down and they're looking around at the exemplars in the organization to recast themselves and to be the models for how they want to recast this image, you know, to be a military professional, you see a lot of these people wearing their faith on their sleeve, walking around, having Bibles on their desk, you know, asking them what church they go to, and they quickly realize, even subconsciously, that this is something that's really important to the success of being a military professional. And that's what I've seen. So mm-hmm. it really is happening at all levels.
I see.
But as far as this, you know, this dominionism, this really rabid fundamentalism,
mm-hmm.
it's not just being Christian. That's not the issue. It's
right.
And it's not just being evangelical. There are many evangelicals that understand that, you know, it's free expression in the military, but we take an oath, and we can't promote a particular brand of any religion.
Right.
None of us want that. And it's the most senior officers that really I see are, you know, the biggest threat.
Jim, I'm wondering, what does this emphasis on fundamentalism, the pressure that it exerts, what does that do to the morale of the military and its readiness?
Well, I think we have to note, first of all, that it's very latent. What's really changed profoundly in the last 10 years or so is, especially when George Bush left office and Barack Obama came into office, is everything kind of went under the underground, Furious mm-hmm. Rosa. And, you know, for those people who are believers in, you know, it gets back to the fish and water, it's okay for them. They just see people that are a little more outspoken. It's for the people who are non-believers or they believe in different faiths outside of Christianity, it causes them tremendous distress. And, you know, in this economy, people worry about keeping their job,
mm-hmm.
and they're placed in a situation of, wow, I probably need to behave in ways that I otherwise wouldn't behave, because I want to make sure my boss is happy enough with me that I can keep my job. And, you know, when you go back to the oath of office and the First Amendment, this is extremely problematic when one of the criteria by which they're making those judgments deal with religious expression, inwardly and outwardly.
Give us a very specific case so we can hear some illustration of what you're talking about.
Okay, and I'll pay a caveat. This is not an indicative case, but this is the most extreme case that I came across, and
mm-hmm.
this is a personal experience.
Okay.
I had a cadet who came to me at the Air Force Academy in 2004. He was an atheist cadet, and he said, look, I really am offended by all of this Christianity in your face by the general in charge of this institution. Well, immediately, there's nothing I can do to help him. I sent him to our Equal Opportunity Office, which is called the MEO, the Military Equal Opportunity. He went there. He sat down in front of this officer. This officer had been given an award to be the top MEO officer for the Air Force that year. It was a public award. We were all there. I had all the faith and confidence that this was the right channel to help this kid.
Mm-hmm.
He had taken over 200 pages of documentation that I had looked through that really, as I looked at it, were evidence of dramatic unconstitutional behavior by this one-star general who was in charge of military training at the Air Force Academy at the time. And when he handed it to this officer, this captain looked at it, and he said something that just really is incomprehensible. He went through the papers, set the papers aside, looked this cadet in the eye and said, "Look, I can help you with this package and we can process it, but you need to know something. As a Christian, it breaks my heart to hear that you've left the flock, and I think the first order of business is that we need to talk about bringing you back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ."
Mm, good
this
grief.
This is the commissioned office. This kid comes back to me. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I called this officer, and firsthand he told me, "And if you're a good Christian, you'll bring him back to the flock too."
Mm. Well, listen, we've got to talk again, but before we get off, tell our listeners how to get in touch with the Center for Inquiry so that if they want to pursue this on their own with you, they can do that as well.
Absolutely. They've got on their website a section called Advocacy where they have all kinds of position papers. This is the most recent one, and it's available at www.centerforinquiry.org.
Retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel James Parco is the author of this startling new report, For God and Country, Religious Fundamentalism in the U.S. Military, just out from the Center for Inquiry in cooperation with the Military Religious Freedom Foundation. Dr. Parco, this is extremely important work, and I want to thank you for taking time to tell us about it here on State of Belief Radio, and we want to stay in touch and get updates on this as well.
Thank you, Reverend Getty. The pleasure was all mine, and congratulations and best of luck to the great work you're doing as well.